2016, when I started, there were no firms out there really doing what we were doing.
That's Stefan Pauls, the co-founder and CEO of Moonfair, a private asset platform that offers individual investors access to the world's leading private equity funds.
People told me when I founded the company, Stefan, you're nuts. Who will invest $100K US dollar over a digital platform into a private equity product? Yeah. Do you know what the regulation entails? How will you get the customers? Senior bankers told me that's the stupidest business concept I've ever seen.
Today on Dry Powder, I'll ask Stefan about the growth journey of Moonfair.
Fast forward today, we have more than 100 copycats.
We'll see how GPs are using platforms like Moonfair to beat a path to the retail investor's door. It's a road less traveled, to be sure, but we're about to see the barriers to entry are quickly coming down. I'm Hugh MacArthur, Chairman of Bain's Global Private Equity Practice, and this is Dry Powder. Stefan, I wanted to thank you very much for stopping by and participating in this episode of Dry Powder, because there's been an awful lot in the media lately about what we're calling retail investing or the democratization of private assets. There's lots of different names for it, but it comes down to regular folks being able to participate in private assets in a way that we haven't in the past. And so it's a real honor to have you on as one of the pioneers in this type of retail access for individual investors for private investment opportunities. And I'd love to just start with getting a little bit of your founder's story. What actually brought you to today being at the helm of Moonfair?
Yeah, look, you, as you know, I spent most of my professional career with KKR in London. And after I left KKR in 2015, I asked my partner and boss, Johannes Huth, can I invest with, let's say, 100 or 200K into the next KKR fund? And to my surprise, he said, no, that's not possible. He said, the minimum is 10 million. And I thought first he's joking. That's out of my pocket size. So I started to go around and talk to friends and former people from the industry and said, can we do it together? And we pool the money according to their needs. And my lawyer stopped me and said, that's a regulated activity. You can't do this. So I said to myself, if you can't do it privately and alone, you do it as a community and you have to do it professionally. And if you do it professionally, you do it in a way that 21st century works, which is digital. And that was really the moment or the hour for Moonfair. The idea really was bringing down the minimums, make it accessible to more like-minded investors, and also add a liquidity function to it and make it, from a process perspective, as seamless and as easy as possible.
That really makes a lot of sense. I mean, $10 million is a lot of change to find in between the cushions of the couch. So I can see that that's quite difficult for almost anyone to participate and really broaden the opportunity for individuals. It really is geared, as you pointed out, toward large institutions that can write those types of checks.
Yeah.
How quickly have you scaled Moonfair in recent years? Do you have any growth figures that might surprise our audience?
Yeah, look, happy to share. It took us 48 months, 4 years, to get to the first billion in assets under management. And it took us only 10 months to get to the second billion. So it's an exponential growth curve. We have been growing the firm until 2022 every year, more than 2x. So doubled assets under management in each and every year. And even in the more troubled year last year, we generated over 60% growth rate.
Those are extraordinary numbers. To what do you attribute the speed at which, once you passed a billion, the assets started to accumulate at such a rapid rate?
Two things came together. When we started the firm, we were pioneers in our field. Over the past 4 years, people became more educated about private equity. Look, you, when I was with KKR in 2004, it was a niche industry. Today, private equity stands for over 25% of the global M&A volume. People read about it in the newspapers. They know the companies partially they are investing in. So education came together. And then, of course, if you invest into private equity, you don't invest just into one fund. What people do is they are building portfolios. So what we are having is, by definition, recurring customers. And that is the basis of the exponential growth.
And so is that what you'd attribute the rapid success of Moonfair to, is that the market timing was just right, that individuals really decided they wanted access to the private markets in a way that they couldn't before, and if you can't write a check for $10 million, you might be able to write a check for $25,000 or $50,000. And that's a way to participate. And the investor demand was there as you were developing the technology and the approach to market simultaneously.
I would say that we were a bit early. In 2016, my team and me, we were asking ourselves, why are there not others doing what we were doing? It's a bit strange that there is no one else out there. Fast forward today, we have more than 100 copycats out there globally. They're emerging like mushrooms in all sorts and ways. So we were a little bit ahead of the curve. That is the basis of our success. We are by far in the direct-to-consumer world the largest platform on the globe. The next competitor is factor 10 away. But it was a stony road, to be honest.
So now that we have all of these mushrooms out there, and I was actually trying to think of whether you describe a lot of mushrooms as a field of mushrooms or a grove of mushrooms. I think that's probably all wrong. But regardless, do you think that the last year or two have really been an inflection point for private asset platforms in general?
I think people are realizing this unbelievable value creation that is happening in private markets, in private equity, but also we saw it in tech and in growth. Think about it, the holding periods have gone up and up. For instance, in the tech sector, from 3 to 5 years back in the early 2000s now to over 7 years. So private assets stay longer private than ever before. And that has led to an incredible acceleration in the space.
Makes a lot of sense. And I'd like to actually shift gears a little bit, Stefan, and talk about how you made the decisions you did as to who your ultimate customer would be. You decided to actually pursue individual investors themselves as your main route to market. Why did you decide to do that versus all of the other options on your plate?
Yeah, look, that's a great one. The idea really was, and my conviction is, as a digital-first, consumer-first platform. And we wanted really to understand in detail the customer journey. What kind of information do they need? What is the best way to display our products? What are the features on the platform that they need when it comes to reporting, tax reporting, but also liquidity with our secondary liquidity market? So the idea really was to develop the platform out of a very, very deep understanding of the end customer. And that has led to a very slick, very clean platform. If you go onto the Moonfare platform now, it takes you 15 minutes, end to end, from the accreditation to all signing of the documents, and you're done with your investment. And then the other point is, we are investment managers. Don't think about Moonfare as a fintech platform, as a marketplace. It's not what we are. What we are is a highly curated platform. We are looking at some 400 funds in a given year. Less than 5% finally make it to the platform. So we are really highly selective. Moonfare is also a B2B, B2B2C platform. We offer it to banks. We offer it to intermediaries. We have globally over 100 partners that are using the Moonfare platform, white label and our selection, sometimes only the platform, to offer it to their end customers. And we entered 2 years ago into a European and now even in Asia partnership with Fidelity International, who are our partners on the distribution to third-party providers. So we are doing both. And that is what makes us very, very special, but out, as I said, of a deep understanding of our end customer.
As I think about individuals in particular, you know, if you or I were using Moonfare, we'd have a relatively easy time selecting funds because we've been in the private equity industry in one way, shape, or form for 25, 30, 35 years. Most people aren't that familiar with private asset classes, aren't that familiar with private equity funds because they have never had access to them. They never thought about them. They don't know their names. And so how do you actually give people that educational background so they feel like they can utilize all that you bring to the table and do so in a very confident way?
There are endless forms and ways to offer knowledge digitally. We have our webinars where you get to know the managers and their philosophy. We had, for instance, David Fialco from General Catalyst. We had Jeff Lieberman from Inside. We had Johannes Huth from KKR. They're all there to explain the asset class and make it more transparent. And one additional aspect which makes us special is our community. And we have more than 50,000 high net worth individuals on our platform globally. And of course, we are developing community features, peer-to-peer features, for the benefit of our investor base, so that they can in the future chat with persons, they can see what the most successful investors do and other features.
Now, Stefan, you mentioned earlier that you look at 400 funds annually and only 5% of them make your screen. How does Moonfare actually go about vetting these GPs and decide which funds actually make the cut and are included on the platform?
We want to have the best alpha generating, outperforming funds on the platform. And this means, you know, we're looking into where is the value creation coming from. There are three levers. It's multiple arbitrage. It is leverage. And then, of course, EBITDA expansion. This is closely associated to operational value creation. So we take a deep look in the detail. How do you really generate money in the firms? There's a very famous quote from Henry Quervis. He said, every fool can buy a company, but the real work starts once you have bought it. And we want to know how the GPs, how the private equity managers are doing it. Frankly, our selection also depends a little bit on the phase. In Europe, at least, we are already in a technical recession. In the US, economy is cooling down. And so who is best suited to manage current time, the disruption of all the value chains and capture the opportunities that are ahead of us? And this brings us in many cases, for instance, back to the global players who have global footprints. They have their own operational teams. They have incredible synergies across their portfolio. They bring all these resources to bear these times. They are experts in consolidation, buy and build. Currently, they are able to do public to private, which is a big topic in a recession phase. It depends a bit on where we are in the cycle, but this is what we do. And I wanted to build a company that really serves in the best interest of the end consumer, our investors, and they can trust that we bring them the best funds.
Now, Stefan, people could be forgiven for thinking that you would be a European-based operation with Moonfare and that you would focus on growing and really penetrating in the market where you created the firm for a very long period before going elsewhere. Why did you decide to actually scale your company globally and go the other way at an early stage?
Dude, that's a great one. I can tell you that was debated in endless sessions with the board, with the shareholders, with my team. But there are very clear reasons why this is a huge advantage. Look, today, Moonfare is by far the most international platform of all platforms out there in 25 countries. And why is it? It gives us the opportunity for global sourcing. We look in Asia, we look in the US, we look in Europe, and even in the Middle East for the best managers. That's one thing. The other reason is predominantly we are dealing with large, globally acting private equity managers. Think about the KKRs and Carlyles. They are all global, and they want global partners. And this is why we are in all these markets. And our scale gives us a clear advantage because the industry we are in, as you know, is a scale industry by definition.
That's fascinating, Stefan. Now, we've talked a lot about digital distribution platforms. We've talked about traditional asset managers. We've talked about wealth managers. There are lots of routes to get to retail investors if you're a provider of opportunities. How do you see this space evolving in the years ahead? How's the landscape going to change for the retail investor?
When you talk to the KKRs and the Carlyles, they see this as a phenomenon that will occupy the industry not for the next 2 or 3 years. It's a 10, 20 years thing until the catch up really has happened. The industry is expecting that 55.0% of their total assets and new assets are coming from retail. So 50% institutional, 50% from retail. So massive market out there. Let me give you one stat. Currently, I said it earlier, asset allocation to alternatives, private equity from private individuals is between 3 and 5% according to the source. 25% is average in the institutional market. If you say there will be an adjustment now happening, take just European numbers, that would mean that 1.5 trillion just for Europe, US dollars, will flow into private markets over the years to come. And as I said earlier, the entire digital ecosystem is behind it. When we talk to the CEOs of the large GPs, this topic around democratization, and in particular, by the way, also technology-enabled democratization, is on the top three items of their strategic agenda.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, when I think about it, and we tackle these types of issues for clients or doing research in Bain, we talk about some of the hurdles that one needs to overcome in order to become truly retail. And so One of those areas would be the regulatory environment, compliance, protections for people that are as individuals that are investing in private assets. There are other issues like liquidity, which typically most individual investors don't really have to deal with or haven't had much experience with. How do you think about the regulatory environment evolution, liquidity evolution, things like that, that can help overcome some of these barriers or some of these speed bumps on the road toward retail investing in private equity?
Look, first, let me start, please, with something that really gave me a lot of hope. Was a couple of years ago when I talked to a couple of very senior people in the regulatory bodies, SEC, the German BaFin, and the FCA. And there was a theme that really surprised me. The regulators have understood that it is not sustainable to leave 98% of all people out to participate in the value creation that is happening in private markets. That is a very clear understanding, which really made me hopeful. The question is, how do we get there? Because they really want to protect the investor from doing things that they don't understand. And on top of their minds is exactly what you have said. They said, look, that's illiquid. It's 10 years and the private individual has to cope with things in her or his life, whether it's a divorce or losing the jobs or, you know, health issues or whatever, what shall they do? And this is why at Moonfair, we said very, very early on, we need this liquidity function. And this is why we developed this digital secondary market, all these 50,000 people on the platform where people can get out. They can buy, but they also can get out of their positions, which is very, very important, whether you wanted to adjust your portfolio, whether you need the liquidity, the cash. And we have even done this in a very professional setup, backed by Lexington Partners. They are de facto playing the role of a backstop in this secondary market, one of the largest secondary players in the world. And this liquidity issue is really what is super important. The new regulation that came down the way, you know, think about the 40 Act funds, all the semi-liquid, the incredible success of Blackstone semi-liquid products. This is all driving this in another direction. And as we speak, you know this, many, many GPs are working on semi-liquid strategies. I expect that the year 2023 to be a launch year of more strategies. They have seen the tremendous success from Blackstone. But there are other regulatory changes on the horizon. I'm sure, by the way, the SEC will not stop where it is. If I may state here, the European market, there's this ELTIF regime, which gives now retail investors starting at 2K, 5K, 10K, the opportunity to invest into private equity type products. In the UK, you have the ELTEF, very, very similar regime. So this phenomenon, which is currently still restricted for, in your country, qualified purchasers or accredited investors, will soon hit the entire population. And that's something, as I said earlier, which resonates so well with our mission to really and truly democratize it, and not only for the more wealthy part of the population.
That's a fascinating point, Stefan. So by aggregating together all of the individual retail investors, they can invest a few thousand dollars or a few thousand euros. You create a large feeder mechanism that is in the millions of euros or dollars to be able to make it efficient for the alternative asset manager or the private equity fund to accept that money. And so the accessibility and the market becomes massive when you think about those kinds of numbers. What ultimately do you think is the total addressable market for a platform like Moonfair?
Yeah, look, we have to differentiate between direct to consumer, so consumer going directly onto our platform, the self-directed investor, as we call them, and those that still bank with wirehouse or are advised by an IRA or so. If we take the total market, because we are servicing both segments, and you take the wealth that is sitting with individual investors, we are talking about 275 trillion globally, assets under management, 275 trillion. Let's be conservative and say, okay, a private individual might not go up to 25% asset allocation into alts, but let's say 10 to 15 is the right number. We're talking about a market that is, you know, close to 20 and above trillion.
Incredibly large numbers, Stefan, and I can't imagine how many couches one would need to be able to find any of those change amounts in the cushions in between. As private markets are becoming a larger share of the retail investor portfolio, whether it's 5% or 10% of an individual investor's portfolio, that does raise a more fundamental issue of liquidity. If it's 25 or 30% potentially of some people's investment portfolio, they're going to potentially want liquidity for reasons that may be unanticipated. Things happen in people's lives where they need liquidity, they didn't plan on it, or they decided that they want to turn left where they turned right and made some decisions in the past. Could blockchain technology and tokenization be a viable solution here? We hear a lot about it, you read a lot about it, but number one, how real do you think that is? And secondarily, if it is real, how far away are we from actually being able to see that really being utilized by platforms in Moonfair?
That's a great one. And I give you my personal view. I believe blockchain is one of the largest disruptions in financial history. It is an incredible technology, and I'm not talking about crypto, I'm really talking about the technology behind, which allows to slice down, as you say, with tokens, assets, and make them available to the broader public. My vision on this is, and the big question is the timing, in, let's say, 10 years' time, everyone will have a wallet, and have a wallet, you know, with not with stocks only, but a share in a Picasso or a small piece in a Fifth Avenue apartment, a piece of private equity, a piece of infra, and maybe also of direct companies. So the world will change. True democratization is happening once blockchain is in place because you have tradability and liquidity on an instant basis. Having said that, the technology is out there, but currently blockchain doesn't offer any real benefit. You know that the GPs, the KKRs, Hamilton Lanes, are putting their toe into the water and have tokenized it. But so far, it's not a revolution. It's a testing experimental field. And why is it? Because some of the fundamental advantages of the technology have not yet been cracked. For instance, all capital is being called upfront. You buy the token and the capital is in there. The liquidity areas are not yet there because the marketplaces are not out. But most importantly, the regulation has not adapted. So it's a matter of the regulation and matter of finding solutions for the capital call and distribution issues. But there's no doubt that this will come. There is, of course, and this is so unfortunate because it is totally unrelated to what we are talking about, the setback because of some of the scandals that happened last year with FTX and others. But I'm 100% sure this is to come and that will be the dominating technology in the future. By the way, we at Moonfair, we are ready. We can switch gears on day one and go on blockchain. We will do so as soon as the regulatory environment is clear and as soon as blockchain really offers an advantage over and above the solutions that we are offering. Because as I said, we have already liquidity, not on a daily basis, but on a semi-annual basis, liquidity option on the platform. So one of the biggest things that blockchain will solve, we have already solved. It's, by the way, a global innovation. But of course, blockchain will be the dominating technology, no doubt about it. And by the way, not only for private equity, it will be for all private assets you can think of.
And so, Stefan, if I could just ask you to peer into your crystal ball, do you think that this type of tokenization that you're describing, which sounds incredibly exciting, is this 1 year away, 2 years away, 5 years away, more? When do you think this could actually occur?
Look, for good reasons, the regulators take their time to think things through. But if you want to hear my best guess, it depends a little bit on the jurisdictions. It's interesting because, in my view, the U.S., together with places like Singapore, Dubai is pushing for it, but also Switzerland, they are probably the most advanced. So I would expect those to move first. But if you want to, you know, get my best estimate, this is probably something that is 5 years out before we really have the regulation in place that the industry will jump on it and this becomes mainstream. Everything has to be really watertight before this will be massive. And there are many, many issues associated. Also think about it. If you tokenize a fund, will really a traditional pension fund or an LP want to get a set of tokens instead of a traditional stake in a Delaware or Cayman structure? There is a lot of movement, but you know these things will not come overnight.
Stefan, this has been fascinating. I wanted to just take the opportunity to thank you again for coming on Dry Powder and educating all of us on the retail market opportunity and the Moonfair story in particular. Sounds like we're in for a fascinating ride over the next few years, and you've had a fascinating one today. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
the next episode of Dry Powder, we'll hear from another pioneer in the private asset platform space. Mark Machen, CEO of Opto Invest, will explain why his team is pursuing investment advisors with a laser-like focus.
The addressable market is huge, and I think we could finally crack a lot of the barriers that have kept these RIA clients from investing in this space before.
One last note. I've started a series of weekly posts on LinkedIn, and if you're interested, please follow me so you can receive these updates. I'm Hugh MacArthur. Thank you for listening.